Good afternoon, everyone. Good morning for those who are not in the Middle East. I'm Baher Esmet. I'd like to welcome you all to this webinar. Thank you for taking the time. This is the probably the first webinar we organize in the Middle East, but it's not going to be the last. We recently had a conversation with some community members, and there was a suggestion for having regular webinars organized from time to time, ideally maybe every 2 months, on topics that are being discussed globally or regionally, and also to allow the opportunity for community members to engage and get the updates on different processes. So here we are today with the first webinar on the INF stewardship transition and ICANN accountability. And I'm glad that we have with us today Teresa Swinehart. She's a senior advisor to ICANN's president and CEO, and she's lead on the INF stewardship transition and ICANN accountability project. And we also have with us today Manal Ismail, the GAC representative of Egypt and a member of the IANA coordination group, the ICG, and Mohammed al-Bashir from ICT Qatar. Mohammed has been a member of the at-large community for a long time, and is also a member, he's actually the vice chair of the ICG, the IANA coordination group. So Teresa is going to start with an overview on the two processes, the IANA transition and the ICANN accountability, and both Mohammed and Manal will join and give us more details about the work of the ICG, what has been done so far, where we are today, and the work ahead of the group. So we're going to start with Teresa, so I'm going to turn it over to Teresa. Thank you. Teresa, you have the floor. Thank you.
Hello, is this better?
Yes, at least I can hear you. Can
okay,
everyone hear
fantastic.
You now? Yeah.
Hello? Okay, my apologies. I seem to have dialed into the wrong line. My apologies. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started. Is that right, Bahir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, fantastic. First, thank you very much for the opportunity to join for this. I was going to just give an overview of where we are with the process. I know that Manal and Mohammed will be talking very much about the ICG and the IANA Stewardship Transition Group, so I will not spend much time on that at all. But as everybody knows, this is a very important opportunity in the history of the Internet and in the history of ICANN to have this transition occurring and for the opportunity, of course, for everybody to be participating in this to find the right steps forward for a proposal in order to enable this transition. So let me go to the first slide here. And I hope this isn't, I'll provide a bit of a base for participants who may be newer to these discussions. But on the 14th of March, earlier this year, the U.S. Administration announced that it intended to transition the stewardship of the IANA function to the global multi-stakeholder community. That is the historical contract that has existed with ICANN in relation to the IANA function, transferring their stewardship role over to ICANN and the global community. They asked ICANN to convene the stakeholders in order to develop a proposal and to look at how to move this process forward. Now, many ask sort of why now? Why in 2014, not when ICANN was formed, and why has it taken this long? And the aspects are really that this is the final phase for the privatization of the DNS. And with the community where it is now and ICANN's formation where it is now and the strength of the multi-stakeholder system, it was really felt that this further supports and enhances the multi-stakeholder model for Internet policy and governance globally, and this was an important step to be taking. Again, it asked us to, ICANN as an organization, to serve as a facilitator based on its role as the IANA Functions Administrator and the Global Coordinator of the Internet Domain Naming System. So we've been serving that function as this process has been underway. In order to enable the proposals and to finalize the process, however, the U.S. Administration through NTIA communicated quite clearly that the transition needed to meet certain principles and criteria. One second, hold on. Excuse me. And these four principles were to support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model, to maintain security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet DNS. It needs to meet the needs and expectations of the global customers and partners of the IANA services, namely the protocol parameter community, the IP addressing community, and the naming community specifically. And it also needs to maintain the openness of the Internet. So it's very important that the proposal that is reached that comes to the NTIA will need to meet these four principles, and those are going to be the tests against which the proposal will need to measure. NTIA also specified, though, that they won't accept a proposal that replaces their role with a government-led or intergovernmental organization solution. And this specifically goes to the first bullet of their principles, namely to support and enhance the multi-stakeholder model. So with that, we began the process, which I'll get to shortly. This slide here is included just to provide some clarity about what the IANA functions are, and I'm happy to touch on that later in the discussion if that's helpful. But specifically, the IANA functions focus in on IP addressing, namely IPv4 and IPv6 space, and the allocations of this per the request of the regional internet registries. The protocol parameters space, which is handled through the IETF, and then the naming community, namely the domain names, so the country code names and the generic top-level domains, as well as IDNs, obviously. Each of these communities, of course, develops their own policies. So in the context of the IANA functions, it's merely the relationship between the operational communities and the execution of the function space around that. This slide here, which is still will be obviously improved as we get feedback on that, is to depict the two processes that are currently running, which I'll be touching on briefly. One is the IANA stewardship transition, and that is the transitioning of the stewardship role of NTIA to the global community and to ICANN. And the second is really about looking at ICANN's accountability, both in the context of its changing historical relationship with the U.S. administration and those more immediate issues that will be looked at in order to enable the final transition. And other issues that the community has identified around accountability that would be good to look at over the coming years, but are not directly related to the transition itself. So this diagram just seeks to give a high-level overview. There's obviously a lot of details with regards to each of the discussions there. So on the launching of the IANA stewardship transition, we established a multi-stakeholder process. And with that came the establishment of what's referred to as the IANA Stewardship Coordination Group. And we serve as the convener for this process itself. And this coordination group, Manal and Mohammed will obviously talk about much further. It is represented by all stakeholders. The community members self-selected their members. They've established their own working methods and modes of operation. In that context, we also serve as the facilitator for that role. The main tasks of the ICG, namely the IANA Coordination Group, is to act as a liaison to all their interested parties, including the three operational communities I mentioned above. They put out an RFP for proposals and to consolidate this proposal and then assemble it for the transition itself. I won't touch on this in too much detail because I know that that will be part of the next presentation, and they'll talk about further the RFP that was put out for the proposals that they've requested. A little bit here on how the different communities are working together. As I mentioned earlier, the IP addressing or the numbering resource community has their process underway to come up with a proposal. The naming community has their process to come up with a proposal, and that work is currently underway. And the protocol parameter community is also coming up with their proposal, and that work is currently underway. All the proposals are to be submitted to the ICG by about the 15th of January. The naming community has indicated that it may take a little longer. And the ICG, again, will consolidate those proposals into one that meets the principles set out by NTIA. This slide here just shows all the different community discussions that are occurring within the naming, the IP addressing, and the protocol parameters community, with links to the public archive information on the dialogues that are occurring, if anybody wants to participate in those, how to sign up and participate in those, and the status of the drafting that's currently underway. Now, one of the topics that I'd mentioned at the beginning, where we had launched another process, was really around ICANN's accountability in the context of its changing historical relationship with the U.S. administration. There, in the discussions when the transition was announced, many raised the point about what would happen to the perceived backstop role that the U.S. has in the context of the contractual relationship of the IANA contract. And in order to look at this, we really needed to do two things. One was to do an assessment of the existing accountability mechanisms that the organization has. We have a wide range of mechanisms, whether reflected in the bylaws, whether reflected in the multi-stakeholder reviews under what's referred to as the affirmation of commitments, We obviously have a board selection process, which is staggered, which enables strong accountability in the selection process and in the staggered aspect in order to ensure full accountability and transparency. We have organizational reviews that are required by the bylaws and, of course, adherence to external laws and board directors' documentation in the context of conflict of interest or ethical standards. So there's quite a few things already in place. The list here is non-exhaustive. But in the context of the changing historical relationship, one of the thinkings was really to look at, are there any gaps in the existing mechanism? And if there's any gaps, how do we address those that are relevant specifically to the changing relationship with the U.S.? And are there any areas that could be strengthened? So that's what we're looking at in this process. Through some community discussions, there was the establishment of a cross-community working group, which is open to anybody to participate, and we'd encourage you to participate and to join. We have the involvement of external advisors who can help bring some best practices from different institutions from around the world about different accountability mechanisms. And, of course, the ICANN board is also involved in those discussions and has a liaison to that. The working group has currently started its efforts. It has had two conference calls to date, and we'll look at many more as far as subgroups. And as you can see, there's quite a vast bit of participation in work stream areas that are being looked at that are reflected in these slides here, including reviewing existing accountability mechanisms such as what I highlighted above. And this last slide is just to share with you where you can find all the information to participate in the respective processes, and of course I'm happy to elaborate on those more. And again, everything is open to participation by everybody. The key documents are also translated into all languages. And the ICG and its work is also with interpretation, of course, and so really seeking to enable participation from all regions. So I think with that, I will end this presentation and more than happy to be responsive to any questions.
Thank you, Teresa, for that. Let's move on to the other part of the presentation with Mohammed Amanel, and then we'll have a Q&A session after that. So, Mike, can you please put on the other slide deck on the screen? Thank you. Mohammed Amanel, I'm not sure who's going to start, but it's over to you. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Bahir, and hello, everyone. I will be starting with an introduction about the ICG mandate and the transition in the RFP. My name is Mohammed Al-Bashir, and I'm currently one of the vice chairs of the ICG. So as said, in March 2014, NTA has announced its intention to transfer to achieve role of the U.S. government on the IANA functions to the global internet community. And it asked ICANN to convene the global internet stakeholders to develop the proposal of the stewardship function that will replace the NTIA current role. So ICANN has started this process, which has resulted in establishment and creation of a group called the IANA Stewardship Transition Coordination Group, or ICG. And the ICG is a group that represents about 13 communities. So there are representatives from 13 different communities within the ICG. For example, the Internet Architecture Board and the Internet Engineering Task Force are representing the protocol parameters community. ISOC is represented, the Name and Resources Organization is represented, SSAC, Security and Stability Advisory Committee is represented as well. The Root Servers Coordination Advisory Group is also represented. With from ICANN community, ALAC, ASO, and the CCNSO, the CCTLD registries, the GAC, the governments, and GTLD registries are represented by the council, the GNSO council, and the GTLD registries. And we have also ICC, and their initiative base is also representing the international business community. Besides two liaison roles, one for the ICANN board and the other one for IANA staff. So the role of the ICG is to coordinate and liaise between the different communities in order to receive and later on assess the proposals coming from those communities. The ICG itself, it doesn't have the mandate to develop a proposal from scratch, but it will rely on the community's feedback in order to come up with the final proposal from the submissions submitted by the different communities. So the focus of the transition is basically the IANA functions, which is currently described by the current contract between NTIA, the U.S. government, and ICANN. Those main activities or critical activities within the IANA functions falls under three main categories. Services provided to protocol parameters community, which is the protocol parameters registry management, and services directed to the main names community or the naming community, which is the DNS through zone management, and the internet numbers registry management, which is a service directed to the region internet registries. And there is the NTIA role in terms of the stewardship, the oversight of ICANN, and the due diligence that it does to ensure that ICANN has fulfilled its procedures. Those main functions doesn't include the policy development, which is outside the scope of those current critical activities. So it was agreed earlier at the process that the directly impacted communities from this transition, they will be the ones who are leading the development of the new proposals. So we are having now three different communities who are taking the lead in developing those proposals. So the region internet registries community or the numbers community is taking that lead, and they have now a bottom-up process to take input and develop proposals. We have the naming community, the main names community, which is have the coordination working group, which is consists of the different stakeholders within that community. And the IETF is representing the protocol communities. So each one of those different communities have a proposal development process, and Mina will go in details about how you can participate and what are those processes, because it's open and everyone could participate in that. The ICG has developed and published after consultation with the community a time frame, a timeline of the activities associated with the proposal. This started in September by ICG issuing an RFP, request for proposals, and the deadline for the communities to submit their proposals is the 15th of January, which is now near us, I can say. And After receiving the proposals from the communities on the 15th, the ICG will start working internally to develop draft proposals, review the current proposals, and come up with the draft proposals. And those and this, let's say, unified new proposal will be put for comments and review. And you can see that the expectation that by July 15th, we have a final proposal that needs to be submitted to NTIA through ICANN board. And the idea is that to give NTIA time to review that proposal and maybe come back to ICG and the communities with either feedback before accepting it and moving ahead with that before the expiry of the current contract, which is September 15th. The ICG internally, after receiving the proposals, it will conduct an assessment in each individual submitted proposal. And that assessment, it will be based on completeness. We need to ensure that the proposal has really covered all the items that was highlighted in the RFP. And those include functions, include description of current services, include proposals of the new arrangements that need to be there. We need to also to make sure that individual proposals are meeting NTIA criteria, which is pretty highly explained now, the four main criteria. And we'll also the ICG will review the proposal to ensure that community comments are accommodated within this proposal. So each community, every member or every constituency within that community, we need to ensure that their comments have been taken on board. And there was a consensus and inclusiveness in reaching out to this proposal. So, and then after conducting that individual proposal assessment, the ICG will work produce a unified one final proposal that will be submitted to NTIA. And that proposal could have different parts from different individual proposals, and we need to make sure that they are all compatible. And ICG will ensure that there is no gaps and everything is covered within this proposal. There is a new working stream that has started within ICANN about the ICANN accountability, as Teresa has mentioned. And ICG will coordinate with that team and will have a liaison relationship, working relationship with that team as that team mandates may become clear. So that relationship and arrangement and link between the accountability work and the new proposal work is currently being developed, I can say. And the final step, which is basically the final proposal finalization, which is after we reach to a final proposal, that proposal will be sent or will be put publicly for public comments, and ICG will review the comments submitted and we'll make any changes necessary requested by the communities or requested by the commenters. And after that, the final proposal will be submitted to ICANN board to be submitted to NTIA unchanged. And that's the function currently we have in ICG because we already have a liaison from the board, and the board is also involved in our process, so we expect the final proposal to be submitted as it is to the NTIA. So this is quickly, in a nutshell, in a summary, the mandate and the process that ICG will conduct to come up with the final proposal to be submitted. Now I hand it over to Manal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed, and thank you, Teresa, for the introduction and for setting the scene. So this part of the presentation really focuses on, provides further details on where we stand and on community participation, how interested community members can participate, potential opportunities for participation, and how this input will be handled. So the RFP, as mentioned earlier, the ICG has released an RFP seeking complete proposals that would cover certain required elements. So more or less, this is the structure you should be finding in the submitted proposals. The RFP is divided into six sections. First, description of communities' use of IANA functions, and this part should include a description of the function itself, its customers, registries involved in providing this function, how the service is provided, any overlaps or interdependencies between this function and other IANA functions. The second part is mainly to describe the existing arrangements pre-transition or prior to any transition in two aspects, the policy and the oversight and accountability. So this should describe how policies are developed, who is involved, how disputes are resolved, and also with respect to the oversight, the ways in which oversight is conducted, how the operator is held accountable, entities that provide the oversight, and also the mechanisms followed, whether contracts, reporting, auditing, or whatever, as well as consequences for not meeting the agreed standards, and finally, jurisdiction and legal basis on which the mechanism applies. The third part, which is really the core of the...
Manel, sorry, this is Tahir. Sorry to jump in.
Yes.
Can you just let us know which slide are you currently on? Because I'm not sure we're following the right slide.
It's the RFP slide. It's the one on the screen. It's the RFP slide.
Okay.
I'm currently on the required proposal element. It's the RFP slide, the third... the Roman third bullet, proposed post-transition oversight and accountability arrangements.
Thank you.
So this is this constitutes the core of the proposals and should include the changes that the community is proposing along with the rationale for the new arrangements. Or if the community does not really see a need for proposing new changes, this should also exist here, again, along with the rationale for choosing not to. The fourth part of the RFP has to do with the transition implications, and this is how the changes proposed would require any operational changes to achieve continuity of service, what are the risks to operational continuity, how those may be addressed, the legal framework required in the absence of the NTIA contract, any new technical or operational methods proposed, and if so, those how were those tested and evaluated, and how long would it take to have those in place? The fifth part is the NTRA requirements, and again, Teresa has already covered this part and stated all the requirements. So this part covers the NTIA requirements. And finally, the community process, which was followed to develop the proposal, and how the what were the steps taken to develop the proposal and to determine the consensus, and whether there are links, for example, to announcements, mailing lists, meeting minutes, and so on. So if we go to the following slide, again, as mentioned earlier, the RFP seeks complete proposals through processes convened by each of the operational communities. And again, as was stated, when we say operational communities here, we mean those with direct operational or service relationships with the IANA functions operator, of course, in relation to names, numbers, and protocol parameters. And those, namely, are the GNSO, the CCNSO, the RIRs, the IAB, and the IATF. The following slide on proposals development. And here just to highlight that the operational communities are asked to adhere to open processes inclusive of all interested stakeholders, and also to actively reach out and encourage wider participation by parties interested in their response. Of course, this is to ensure that proposals developed be supported by the broad range of participating stakeholders. So the first community proposal on domain names, so this community has already created a cross-community working group on naming-related functions. They have announced a draft transition proposal on the 1st of December. It is posted for public comments, and the public comment period ends today, midnight time UTC. So this is the first proposal. The second, regarding the numbers community, the RIRs have started by discussing the transition proposals in their respective regions. Then they selected three members each to constitute what's referred to as Consolidated RIR IANA Stewardship Proposal Team, or in short, CRISP Team. In order to incorporate all inputs to develop a single proposal. They have just announced a first draft a couple of days ago, I think on December 19th, and has also put this for public comments till January 5th. And they announced a timeline for further iterations. As you can see, a second draft should be out on January 8th, again, to be put for public comments for a period that closes on January 12th. The third and last community proposal is the Protocol Parameters Community, where they have created an IANA plan working group, and also they have announced the first draft proposal. The draft was subject to an IETF last call review, which ended December 15th. The slide says that it is pending for IESG's approval, but I think the slides are a couple of days old, so I believe the draft has already been approved, and this shows how things are too fast and too dynamic taking place. So now the following slide on community participation, the ICG tried to facilitate the community participation and how they can dig information on the three processes. So the ICG have included all information about ongoing community processes under the shown link. And this information is continuously updated to reflect all developments. So it's more of a one-stop shop where you can find all the processes in one place. Also, the timeline, the overall timeline of the ICG process is available at the second URL, and this is again to guide and coordinate the operational community processes. And it's worth noting here that the deadline for the operational community proposals is January 15th. So on the evaluation part of the processes, on the evaluation part of the proposals, and here I'll go quickly on this as this has already been addressed, but I just want to map the steps to the timeline and also highlight potential opportunities for community participation. So the first step, as Mohammed highlighted earlier, is the individual process and proposal assessment, and this extends from 15th January or earlier till 15th February. And this mainly is concerned with the process itself and the proposal. So, and this is why it may start earlier than 15th January, which is the deadline for submitting the proposals, because we can still keep an eye on the process, make sure there are no concerns highlighted by the participants. All inputs, again, as Mohammed mentioned, have been addressed, and the level of consensus of the proposal. And again, once the proposal is received, it will go through an individual assessment regarding completeness, clarity, and NTIA criteria. And then the following step is the draft proposal production, and this extends from the 15th of February till the 13th of March. This will check on the compatibility and interoperability, again, as Mohammed mentioned, how the proposals work together. Do they suggest any incompatible arrangements? How is it feasible to handle any conflicts or overlaps? Again, the accountability, how the proposals work together, including appropriate and properly supported independent accountability mechanism, whether there are any gaps, and how to resolve any conflicts. And again, once the proposals pass those checks, they will proceed to the following step, which is the review of the draft proposal, and this is from the 13th of March till the 19th of June. And again, the ICG will assemble a single draft proposal and put it for public comments. So this is another opportunity for community participation. Any comments will be addressed by the ICG along with the relevant operational community. And then another iteration or a new version of the document will be out, and this interim final proposal again will be put for public comments. This is from the 19th of June till the 17th of July. And again, it's the same cycle. The draft will be put out for public comments. Received comments will be addressed in cooperation with the relevant operational community. And finally, when there are no further changes needed, the proposal will be submitted. And this phase is from the 17th of July till the 31st of July. The ICG will post the final proposal on its public website and will transmit it to the ICANN board. The ICANN board has confirmed to the ICG that the board will send the final proposal to the NTIA within 14 days and without making any changes to it. And should they decide to send any communication together with the proposal, this will be made public. So just a couple of highlights before I give back the floor. On a few points I would like to stress here that the ICG is required to assemble a proposal from component proposals submitted through the operational communities. The ICG, hence the ICG maintains a light hand focusing its role on assembling a unified proposal and does not have a centralized authority to pick and choose among competing proposals. So proposals directly submitted to the ICG will be forwarded to the relevant operational community for consideration. And this highlights the importance that all interested and affected parties should and are strongly encouraged to participate directly to the operational community processes. Finally, this is a few resources that has to do with the ICG process. It's the ICG website, direct link to activities and announcements. Also, the mailing list is publicly archived and available at the shown URL. The documents, all the working documents, are made available on Dropbox. And also the recording, transcription, and minutes of the meetings are also public. And finally, an FAQ is available that provides answers to some frequently asked questions and also provides a channel to submit your own question if you have one. With this, I'll hand back to Baher and... Thank you all, and happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Manal, for this. Thank you, Mohammed, for this detailed presentation on the work of the ICG and the process underway to finalize the proposal. So now we're ready to go to the Q&A session. For those who have any questions or any comments, I would seek clarification from Mike, if he can hear me. Mike, how can people ask questions? Do they speak directly to the mic? Do they raise their hands in the Adobe room? Can you please explain the process? Mike, are you there? Okay. Okay, we have one person raising his hand, Amr Sadr, so I think we can go ahead. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks, Beha. This is Amr Sadr. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, great. I wanted to take this opportunity just to elaborate a little bit further, combining some of what Manel and Teresa were saying. Manel had mentioned as part of RFP3 of the role of the cross-community working group on the IANA stewardship transition that one of the questions this working group is tasked to answer is how the IANA operator would be held accountable. And in doing this, this is a sort of an overlap between the two cross-community working groups, the one on the IANA stewardship transition and the one on enhancing ICANN accountability, because, well, ICANN is the current IANA operator. This is a question that will be tackled by both working groups. So I just wanted to highlight that and to say that there is active coordination between the chairs of the two cross-community working groups going on this specific point. And the distinction between how those two issues on those two working groups how they're very distinct from each other, as Manel said, that the stewardship cross-community working group will forward its proposal directly to the ICG and then to the NTIA, as opposed to the accountability cross-community working group, which will have its proposal approved by the ICANN board. So there is this one overlap between the two groups, and coordination is required on it. Thank you. Hi, this is Amr again. Have we lost our hosts?
Sorry, Amr. I was talking. I was mute. I'm sorry. Sorry for that. Apologies. I was reading actually a question that is asked by Nadira in the chat room. The question reads, are the RIR, IETF, and many communities include any NTIA members in their working teams, save for the transitional liaison team, if it is going to include some of the NTIA members for their valuable expertise. So the question basically is, if any of the working groups or teams have representation from NTIA. Does anyone know the answer to that question?
This is Teresa. The observation I would make is that the working groups and obviously the mailing lists are open to anybody to participate and to engage, whether there's a specific involvement on any specific working group. That would be up to NTIA on if they wanted to be involved in those discussions or not. But everything is open to everybody to participate, and they've certainly been responsive to questions when the community has raised questions in order to benefit from their expertise.
Thank you, Teresa.
And I would actually point to the most recent example, which was a slide we can send around on the processes with regards to NTIA's role. But here we may want to send that around to the group as well. That was the most recent response, aside from statements and speeches from Larry Strickling, with regards to being responsive to any of the questions that the community has raised as well.
Okay, will do. Thanks, Steve.
Beher, can I just add something? This
yeah.
is Manal.
Sure. Go ahead.
So, yes, like Teresa mentioned, the mailing lists and everything is open, and we can see that there is a close follow-up from NTIA, although they are not represented in the groups, but we have already received clarification that the final proposal should be submitted by ICANN to the NTIA and not by the ICG to the NTIA. This was a correction that was requested in one of our publications. And I think also the slides that were recently released on the NTIA role in the root zone edits. So I believe things are open. They are closely following up and sometimes providing comments. It's also worth noting that the ICG has already mentioned again in one of our publications that it would be very helpful to receive any NTIA comments along the process so that we can fine-tune and ensure everything is taken care of early enough. So, thank you.
Thanks, Manal. There is a follow-up question by Ahmed Sadr. He's asking, did you say that ICANN will submit the proposal to NTIA?
Yes. So, as I mentioned, the ICG will post the final proposal online and will submit it to the ICANN. The ICANN will take 14 days to review the proposal, and as per the U.S. government procurement requirements, the ICANN is the one that should submit the final proposal to the NTIA.
Manal, when you say that ICANN will take 14 days to review the proposal, I think you mean the ICANN boards. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, I'm sorry. So the ICANN board has conveyed this message through the board liaison on the ICG working group, the coordination group, that within 14 days from receiving the proposal, they will submit this unchanged to the NTIA, and if they need to submit anything else along with the proposal, this will be made publicly, posted publicly for the ICG and for the community. But also we expect that any concerns or comments by the board will also be conveyed to the ICG itself early enough to be addressed through all the ongoing communication channels, whether through the board liaison or through the public comments periods or any other means. So it doesn't necessarily have to be last minute when the final proposal is being submitted. Does this address the question?
Okay, thanks, Manel. I see two people raising their hands, Amr Sadr, and then Mr. Araste. Amr, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Ahmed Sadr, and thanks, Mel, for the clarification. Yeah, that was very helpful. But to be completely clear, during the 14-day period between the ICG delivering the final proposal to the ICANN board and the ICANN board forwarding that to the NTIA, there is no requirement in the middle for the ICANN board to in any way approve the proposal at all. Am I correct in this?
I think since the board is committed to transmit the proposal as is unchanged, so it is not subject to further approval per se, but again, it's only fair that they take the time to read the whole proposal and review it before submitting it to the NTIA. I have also to say that this discussion is still ongoing within the ICG. We're still finalizing this, so I don't want to preempt what's going to be concluded, which definitely will be posted this week, I guess, in the document for the proposal finalization process. So this is a document we are working on it that include all those details, and once this is finalized, it's going to be posted online and also be reflected in the frequently asked questions. But this is where we stand today and where the discussion stands today. And I have to say that also Mr. Arasti is one of the ICG members, so we have one more member with us on the call.
Yeah, and actually he was raising his hand. Mr. Arasti, if you can hear me and you still want to take the floor, please go ahead. Yes, I can see you. I can see your hand. Can you speak to the mic? Yeah, we can't hear Mr. Arasti. Mike, can you check if Mr. Arasti is still on the line? Can you check with the operator, please? Okay, until we get Mr. Arasti back, I can still see a follow-up question from Amr. Amr, do you want to speak to the mic?
Thanks, Behr. This is Amr again, and I'm sorry to be pressing you on this, Manella, but I'm still trying to get more clarity on this issue here of the ICG and the ICANN board and their roles in sending the final proposal to the NTIA. What I'm trying to get at is after the ICG send the final proposal to the ICANN board, can the ICANN board effectively say, no, wait a minute, there's something in this final proposal we want changed, and send it back to the ICG and decide not to forward it to the NTIA, or is this not an option? Thank you.
Okay, so again, as how the work is progressing and the coordination is going on, this is not an option because, again, this coordination or this feedback, we expect to receive it through many of the ongoing, of the open channels of communication between the ICG and the whole community, including the ICANN board. So we already have an ICANN board liaison on the ICG. So we assume that any such alerting notifications will be made early enough and not when the final proposal is submitted. So we expect such feedback either through the ICANN board liaison or through any of the public comment periods or throughout the process. Again, it has been confirmed by the ICANN board itself that the final proposal will be transmitted to to the NTIA unchanged. But I think it's just a fallback scenario that they said that should they need to transmit anything, this will be made public before being attached to the proposal.
Bahir, Mohammed here, if I might.
Yes, Mohammed, go ahead.
Yeah, just also to give more clarity, the initial request came from NTIA. NTIA has indicated to ICG that its contractual arrangement with ICANN requires that it receive the proposal submitted proposals from ICANN, the convener of this process. So that's where it all started. And from ICG has requested clarity and feedback as well from ICANN regarding what exactly ICANN is going to do, because yes, from ICG side, the assumption, whatever is submitted, this is the one that's going to be submitted to the ICANN board. The board, as Manal said, the board liaison is working with ICG. If there's any issues from ICANN perspective that needed to be raised earlier in the process. So it's not an approval and it's not a veto. But when receiving the proposal, the ICANN board have the chance, which is will be public, to submit any comments with it to NTIA. So, but it's not an approval process, and it's not a step that could lead to a veto. Thank you.
Mohammed, can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Arasti, you can go ahead.
If you allow me, my name is Kabus Arasti, one of the members of ITG. I want just to make a small clarification that the ICANN board has a liaison with ICG from the very beginning, and it is expected that on the various steps of the process, they could make their suggestions, comments, views, opinions, and so on and so forth. That is why it is not expected that all of a sudden, at the end of all things, they come up saying publicly, no, we don't agree with that, and we have this comment. It is expected that to the extent practicable and possible, and to the best of their knowledge, they communicate any comments that they have during the process before being sent to NTIA via ICANN. Sending via ICANN does not mean that ICANN modify that. ICANN is a channel, is a post office, is a box to send that. It does not mean that they change the situation. It is expected that they make their points beforehand in order to find out the way how to accommodate what they think. No doubt we will. ICG member will fully respect the views of the ICANN with the long experience in management of the things. Therefore, we expect that this communication will be permanent between now and from the time that the output will go through the ICANN to the NTIA. Thank you.
Bahir, perhaps I could add in to complement what Manal had said.
Please, go ahead.
Yes. I think it's all been said. The objective really is that by the time there's a final proposal, there's first of all no surprises, and that all the issues and considerations have been contributed to the discussion. And obviously, members of the board are actively participating in the work of the IETF or the regional internet registries or the naming community, and contributing through the comment processes that exist there, so as the iterations are occurring. And in the context of the ICG, there is both a IANA staff liaison to help provide input there, as well as a board liaison. And if there's issues that arise in the context of the board and how a proposal may be evolving, that is the opportunity also to provide the input there. And so if there's any issues that arise and are identified, the objective really is that these are raised early and dealt with during the process of formalizing and formulating a final report. So this is really intended to be that by the time something reaches the board and the ICG has concluded its work, there's already been awareness around any of the issues that may arise. And that those have been taken into consideration, whether they're coming from different community members or from also the board input and awareness around anything that they may feel may be an issue moving forward. So I think we have, you know, with the process being open and transparent and consultative and the community discussions, really an opportunity to raise and flag any issues early on and work towards resolution. So by the time something is final, it is final. So I hope that helps provide some comfort and clarity.
Thank you, Teresa. Very helpful. Any more questions or comments? Amr, are you raising your hand?
Yes, Beha, this is Amr again. Only if no one else wants to go, because I think I've had more than my share.
Yeah, I can see you, and then I can see Mr. Areste as well. So you go ahead and then Mr. Areste.
All right, thanks. I apologize for really pushing on this point, because it's fairly new news to me. On one hand, I hear things, and I feel that yes, some more comfort and clarity has been provided. But then I think about a little more about what's been said, and I still have questions. When we say that the ICANN board will provide input and sort of raise flags on issues that may come up, and I'm assuming this is going to occur in the 14-day period following the delivery of the final proposal by the ICG to the ICANN board. I think it's perfectly fine that the ICANN board provides input and it should be entitled to do so. But what I'm really trying to figure out is you have, on one hand, you have a proposal from the cross-community working group on the stewardship transition, and that proposal has its recommendations, and then you have the ICANN board that has raised some flags and identified issues with these recommendations, and I'm going to go ahead and assume that there must be some sort of conflict between those flags being raised and the recommendations being delivered by the cross-community working group. So when the NTI receives these both sets of recommendations and flags, what is it expected how is the NTI expected to handle these? And I'm just wondering, because I haven't heard anything about this before, and I'm curious about how this has been communicated or through what channels. Thank you.
So, Beher, if I may, because I think there is a little bit of misunderstanding. What we mentioned about flagging any issues or concerns doesn't have to do with the 14 days. We're talking about the whole process since the ICG was established. One of the members of the ICG is a liaison from the ICANN board who's witnessing the process, flagging any concerns as we go, and also conveying any information to the board and conveying back information from the board to the ICG. So it's an ongoing coordination process. The 14 days is just, we cannot assume that everyone will be reading the final proposal at the same moment and submitting it within 24 hours. So I think it's just a matter of reading the overall document before submitting it. But regarding any coordination or any flagging or any concerns, this is already an ongoing process. So does this help to address your concern, Amr?
Yes, I think it does. So if I understood you correctly now, these flags and issues, these are really more related to the process that the CWG and the ICG are going through, and not actually... they don't actually concern the recommendations in the final report. Am I correct in this?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you well. Can you say again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Mina. I was just saying that if I understood your last comment correctly, then yes, I think that answers my question. But just to be clear, what you're saying is that those issues identified and flags raised are more pertaining to the process that the CWG is going through and that the ICG is going through, and it's and those flags and issues are not in any way concerned with the final recommendations being submitted by the CWG to the ICG. Is this correct?
I'm sorry, I'm a little confused now. Sorry, Manal, go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead, Teresa. I was just going to say that what I meant is that it's an ongoing coordination process, whether it has to do with the process or the content or whatever. What I meant is that it's ongoing. It started very early. We don't expect surprises at the very end. Anything that might concern the board will be brought to the ICG attention in a timely manner, and hence the final proposal should go smoothly without any surprises. But, Teresa, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, Manal, I interrupted. My apologies. I think maybe one of the key things to go back to is that in communicating the four principles around the transition requirements for a proposal, it was made very, very clear that there has to be broad community support and consensus. And so one of the key elements of this is, of course, that there's engagement in discussion as the different proposals are being prepared. Hence, obviously, there's openness and transparency in those processes. And that if there's concerns or ideas or suggestions raised, that those are provided early on in the process. So as we know, the cross-community working group for the naming community specifically has a proposal out, and it has a comment period, and those comments are coming in. And then that group will incorporate those comments. The ICG, likewise, when it receives all the proposals and puts together the proposal to meet the criteria and the principles that NTI had set out, will likewise have a consultation with the community, and there's opportunities to provide input there. And so it's really an iterative process of building consensus around where the final proposal evolves to, starting, obviously, in the operational community discussions. So as a result, there's opportunities to raise questions, suggestions, ideas, concerns, support, whatever it might be, throughout the iterative process of both the operational community and then as the ICG puts together the proposal to meet the four principles that NTIA has set out. So by the time it reaches the board, there is hopefully really no element of surprise. And again, NTIA has made clear that there has to be broad support from the community. If they receive indications that there's not support or agreement, obviously then it doesn't meet that need, right? So I think there's an opportunity for everybody to engage and for ideas to be brought in throughout the process into the ICG and then obviously in finalizing something. So I hope that helps.
Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. Mr. Araspe, do you still want to take the floor? Yeah,
yes,
I can see what happened. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I need to clarify the situation. The issue is a little bit now confused by the people. The acceptance, modification, or rejection of recommendations of CCWG, Cross Community Working Group, is entirely different from the activities of ICG. There are two different channels. The board resolution in Los Angeles dealing with the CCWG recommendation and allows the board to accept or not. That is an issue under discussion. This has nothing to do with the ICG activities. On the other hand, the activity of the CWG, cross-community group, dealing with the AANA transition function accountability will be fed to the ICG, and ICG will include that in its proposal. So we have to distinguish between the two. There are two different things and two different areas, and we should not mix them up. I don't believe that I can assess that it accept or not accept recommendations of the ICG. They will comment on that publicly. Whereas for the CCWG, they said that they want the possibility and authority to accept or not accept. That are two different things, and we should not mix them up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Arasti, for the clarification. I think this is very important. Any further questions or comments? Okay, I see none. So, yeah. So I think this was very, very helpful. I'd like to thank our speakers today, Teresa, Manel, and Mohammed, for the very informative session. Seeing some comments in the chat room, it seems that people found this really informative. So I hope we will see more engagement from the Middle East community in this process going forward. We're going to also share the link for, I mean, this call has been recorded, so we're going to share the link, we're going to share the slides, so that even those who were not able to join could still benefit from this informative webinar. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you for taking the time, and wish you happy holidays season, and talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.